In a wave of bad news about climate change, some changes are good. We all cheer on wind power, for example. Unfortunately, for a decade or so, wind speeds were dropping around the world. But new science shows that general calming has reversed itself. In a boon to wind farms, a typical wind turbine is producing about 17% more energy today than in 2010. So there's a new wind blowing. A team of 15 authors published this paper in Nature Climate Change. It's titled, A Reversal in Global Terrestrial Stilling and Its Implications for Wind Energy Production. We talk with the lead author, Dr. Zhenxiang Zheng, and he is a postdoctoral scholar at Princeton, currently in China. From Shenzhen, China, Zhenxiang Zheng, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here.
I've never heard of Shenzhen. Where is it and what is it like there?
Actually, I have to correct that. I'm not a postdoc now. I am now an associate professor at the Southern University of Science and Technology.
And where is that located?
It's in Shenzhen, a city near Hong Kong. I think this is the youngest city all around the world. Only 30 years, the GDP has overpassed Hong Kong.
Wow. Now that's saying something. And mostly new buildings then?
Yeah. And the high-rise building, more than 600 meters high. A lot.
That is very tall indeed. And what are you doing in China?
I'm doing research and advising students here. And now because I'm an associate professor here, I have to search for funding, teach students, and do research.
All right. Now, could you please explain for us what global terrestrial stilling is?
Well, it is a phenomenon that the observed land surface wind speed has declined since around 1960s. And over the past 50 years, the average land wind speed has declined by around 50%. And if this trend continues to the end of this century, the wind speed will decrease by around 21%, and the wind power will drop by 50%. That's a lot.
That would be tremendous. And do we know why the Earth's winds were slowing down since the 1960s?
Before that, we had one hypothesis. That is the greening of the Earth. The vegetation is growing better, and that increased the surface roughness, and then will drag the wind speed and slow down the wind. But now our finding shows that they are wrong.
Yes, and we'll talk a little bit later about some of the greening that's happening in China. I wonder, though, if a gradual slowing of Earth's winds was accepted and observed for so long, what led you and your 14 co-authors to question that?
Okay, as I mentioned before, last year I did a research about the relation between the greening and the terrestrial stilling. We use fancy Earth system models to simulate how the greening of the Earth will impact the land surface wind speed. But we found that it is wrong. You know, the greening of the Earth will not cause the terrestrial stilling. And we reject the hypothesis. And last year, we also put forward another hypothesis. That is the greening, the urbanization. But we also rejected that hypothesis. And then we update our data set. Very surprisingly, we found that the terrestrial stilling has reversed around 2010. You know that before that, in around 2013, all scientists will not update their data set. They only use data before 2010, so they did not observe the reversal. We are very surprised about that. And then for our curiosity, then we began this research.
You know, this is a major change. Something has changed fundamentally, and I didn't know about it. I don't think the public knows about it, but I guess it's a good thing for wind farms.
Yes, it's very good.
So is there a relationship between changes in the ocean and the amount of wind that we get?
Over ocean, it is obviously yes, but over land, it's not certain. But now our finding shows that there is a strong relationship between the changes in ocean and the wind speed over land. And we have to, because now the phenomenon has fundamentally changed, many theories and the projections about the stirring are waiting update.
when we talk about oceans affecting the atmosphere above, frankly, it's hard to picture how that's even possible if you're not a scientist. How can the sea change what is happening in the air far above it?
The overall change is not important. For example, if you only mention global warming, that's not important. The key is that some regions warm faster than the other regions, and that will create temperature gradient, and then air pressure gradient, and then drive the circulations that will impact the climate over land.
So if the wind is good news for wind farms, does that increase also suggest even more violent storms could happen?
That's possible, but we need more research to figure out whether hurricanes have increased. But from our study, we have found that the wind speed increased during all the four seasons, not only the hurricane season. And the increase of wind speed during the recent decade is more in regular wind speed level than that in maximum wind speed. So the recent increase of wind speed is good news for wind farms.
And is this increase we're talking about happening everywhere or just in some regions or in certain bands around the Earth? What's the geography of it?
It is mainly happening in mid-latitude countries such as United States, Canada, China, and the European countries. And most wind turbines were installed in these countries. But in some locations, for example, some cities are occurring very fast urbanization, wind speed may have decreased. But that is very local scale.
Were you able to find hard statistics showing power generation from certain wind turbines or wind farms actually has gone up?
No, I did not get this data. You know, it is very difficult to get data from particular wind turbines. We have to know those people. But we collect data from the whole United States, and we find that the total wind power production from all the turbines in the United States during 2009 to 2017. And we find very good relationship between their production and the cube of the wind speed in the United States.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. This is Radio EcoShock from China. I'm speaking with Dr. Zheng Zhongzheng with some good news about wind power. But how do we know that increase in electricity from wind is not just due to building bigger turbines or better technology?
Oh, because in my calculation, I control wind turbines and only change wind speed. So the relationship, the result we find is only from the increase of the wind speed, not because of the wind turbine.
Do we know whether the increase in global wind in recent years will continue, and if so, for how long?
As you can see from our recent paper, we found that ocean atmosphere oscillations are the key. But you know that is the Earth system that is very complex, but it has some rules. So given it is long circles, we predict that the current trend will last for maybe one decade, at least one decade. But that is long enough for lifespan of wind turbines. Normally, they will not live for more than 20 years. But maybe after 10 years or 20 years, it will drop down again. So we need to continue to do more research in this field.
Indeed. So in past years, you have been co-author in a series of papers about the role of vegetation to moderate climate in China. How does vegetation play an important role there?
First, vegetation plays an important role not only in China. Actually, it is all around the world. We published a paper in Natural Climate Change to show that the greening of the Earth I think that paper was published in 2017. And then we continue to find that because of the greening of the Earth, the vegetation has helped we human beings to slow down the global warming by 12%. And we also find that the greening has intensified the terrestrial water cycle. For example, 30% of the increase of precipitation during the past 30 years overland is caused by the greening of the Earth. And the 50% of the increase of evapotranspiration is caused by the greening. So, and we know that the greening in China and India dominates the greening of the earth.
That is so interesting. So just to be clear, did you say that the greening of the earth has slowed down global warming by 12% or has actually cooled the earth by 12%?
It slowed down. That is to say, if the vegetation do not help us, our warming rate will be 12% faster than the current warming rate.
So I would take from that, if we had an expansion of deserts and dry areas, changes to the rainfall cycle, which have been projected in many climate maps, that might reintroduce the heating that has been, let's say, masked or hidden, or at least handled somehow, by the greening that you've been talking about.
You mean if we expand desert, what will our climate change, right?
Yes, and we would lose again, though, the benefit that we've had from this greening. If the greening were to reverse itself, the heating would reappear.
Yeah, and our planet will be much warmer and dry. There will be more drought events and heat.
That's all very interesting. And I had been reading about growing deserts in China, especially in the north of China. And there is a great battle on by the government and by the people to combat that. But how can there be a greening trend in the country at the same time?
There are several aspects happening here. For one, in northern part, because of the warming, the temperature is better. And if we do not cut the tree may grow better. And for the other region, you know, China is the largest afforestation country. Only until 2008, around 62 million hectares have been afforested in China. That is around 23% of global plantation area. But now the problem is where we should plant our trees. In southern China, southeastern China, this area is good for trees, and if we plant trees there, they will grow very well. But if we plant trees in desert area or in very dry western China, and maybe also northern China, northwestern China, that is very dry and that is not suitable for trees. If you plant more trees there, they will not survive. They will die. They will pump more water from the ground. The groundwater will decrease, and that will actually will get more desert will expand in those regions. So that's the reason why you can hear why in overall it is greening in China, but you can still see some news that in some area deserts are increasing.
I appreciate you explaining that, and I think that for myself and probably for my listeners too. It's difficult in the West to understand how really large China is. It's not, you know, we might as well be talking about North America. It's such a difference between the North and the South, for example, and the East to the West. So I could see how there could be greening in some parts and deserts expanding in others. So I have seen an increase in the number of really interesting research papers published in English language journals by Chinese authors. And I'm wondering, is the study of climate growing in China? And if so, why do you think that is?
Oh, yes. It's increasing very fast during the recent year, maybe the past decade since the meet between President Obama and President Hu Jintao, and more, maybe even several years before that. And then our government and also our president and the prime minister, they highlight a lot of the ecological civilization. And as a result, they put a lot of funding for us. So our money increased a lot. Take me, for example, my school give me $1.5 million for my startup. That's very good. And I cannot get this kind of number all around the world. I think only in China.
And you'll set up a small institute with that? Is that the plan?
Only for my group.
Right. Like a lab, it would be called in the West.
Yeah, my lab. and I hire 10 students now, just 2 months.
Wow. Okay. Now, there must also then be a pool of climate knowledge developed in China, but perhaps not yet translated to other languages?
I'm not sure. You know, I went to Princeton since 2016 when I just graduated from Peking University, and then I spent three years in Princeton, and I had not returned China, and I had not focused on in Chinese journals since then. I only focused on English journals since then, so I'm not familiar with the Chinese journals and the knowledge in China, in Chinese language.
Well, I think English has been accepted for now as an international language of science, but I still do worry that there's really good work, for example, going on in Germany that's published in German and doesn't make it out to the rest of us in English.
But I don't think this is the same in China, because our government and our school encourage us to use English. And you know, in my university, it's in Shenzhen, and our official language is English. We teach our students by English, and we talk with them sometimes by English.
Do you see yourself with a direction in your scientific work? Are you developing one specialty, or do you work on several problems these days?
And I also find that because of the increase of the wind speed, before that we think that the sandstorm, you know, and the main air pollution problem are driven by wind speed. But now we find that wind speed has increased, but sandstorm in China has not increased. So I'm very curious about that. Why? Our theory before is wrong. Now I will more focus on this question. Why? What drives the sandstorm in China in last 60 decades?
Oh, the sandstorms.
Well, that's a big problem in China if you have been to Beijing,
yes,
10 years ago. But now it disappeared.
Even though the wind has increased.
We don't know why. My theory is that the decrease of the sandstorm is because of the terrestrial steering, the decrease of wind speed. But we find that now wind speed has increased, but sandstorm disappear, still not show up. So what happened? We don't know yet.
That is definitely worth looking into. I'm hoping that it has stopped. That's better for the people of Beijing, for sure. So on your new paper about increased wind power, I wonder how this news can reach the governments or the policy planners or even the banks who are considering investing in wind power. Do you think they already know about this just by looking at better production figures?
I think they do not know yet. And now, so I thank you and the many other media, for example, BBC and NPR, for helping us to deliver this knowledge to them. I think this will be very helpful for them.
Are you personally a fan of alternative energy?
Of course. That is the only way we can replace fossil fuel and save our planet.
I totally agree. We have been speaking with Dr. Shenchong Zhang, lead author of the paper, A Reversal in Global Terrestrial Stilling and Its Implications for Wind Energy Production. And we've been talking about China in general. So you can find links in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Shenchong, thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you for having me here.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. I have lots more for you on the startling science presented in this interview with Shenchong Zhang. Be sure to check my show blog published every Wednesday at ecoshock.org for more discussion on the points he raised. Next, America tries to get its climate act together.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.